Good to be here.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
I'm Peggy, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Peggy.
I have done this work as it's laid out in the big book with the help of a big book step study sponsor and a loving God. Made all my amends. I'm willing to make any additional that show up and live in 10, 11, and 12 to the best of my ability every day. Great to see so many people here today. Thank you for showing up. Step 6 and 7, three paragraphs, but all very important. When I was reviewing this information, I had to go back to what I think is the beginning of this process, because we can't get to step 6 and 7 until we do 3, 4, and 5. And when I do 3, that's where I'm turning my life over to God, and I'm asking Him to show me the truth about myself and my defects and uncover all this stuff and relieve me of the bondage of self, which is what the big book tells us is our main problem, self, self, self. So when I do the third step prayer in the morning and then I do the seventh step prayer right behind it, it kind of closes all that up for me, which tells me that I have to be on guard for all of my defects for the rest of today. So, but step 3 is where we ask God, we're willing to surrender and ask God to do with us as He wants to do with us. And when we write our inventory, we actually ask Him to show us the truth about ourselves. And that's where we get to the bottom of understanding what's been wrong with us our whole life, which ends up being our defects. So then taking away the difficulty in step 3 and showing the victory over that to other people is Him removing from me the defects of character when I ask Him to in 6, the ones, and I'm showing victory to other people that you can accomplish this, you can overcome your defects. So by Him, by me asking in step 3 that I want to have the victory of my shortcomings removed and show others of your strength, your love, and thy way of life, then I'm asking Him in that point also of asking to have my defects removed. So throughout this process, we're trying to get rid of those defects. But when I did step 3, I didn't know what my defects were. I had to do all the work to figure it all out. But looking back, and that's what this whole book does, it keeps looking back. You know, we keep looking back to do that. The victory over my shortcomings and my life is evidence to others that we don't have to live a life as a hostage to our old behaviors. And step 6 and 7 shows us how to do that. So when I look at step 6, the first thing it says is we come home and we take it off of the shelf. Most of us, at some point in time in our lives, have had a bookcase or a bookshelf in our homes, and we've had different books in there. We've had dictionaries, we've had novels, we've had mysteries, we've had tragedies, and I never had the classics because I couldn't get through that. But in the libraries, they all have these bookcases and all these different things, and they have references and research books and encyclopedias. So where does the big book belong? In which one of those categories? And I was thinking about that, and I said, it belongs in all of them, in my opinion. There's tragedies in here of people who succumb to the diseases. There's the mysteries of how to figure it out to get out of it, how to use the big book. It's a spiritual book. It teaches us how to have a spiritual experience and to live by spiritual codes. Let's see what else. It's encyclopedia. It teaches us a whole lot of new ideas and new things. It's a dictionary. It teaches us new words. So this book belongs in every one of those categories that we might find other books in our home or in whatever on a bookshelf. So when I take it down off the bookshelf, it's everything to me. It's my book. That's the only book that I'm taking off the shelf. So now we're going to look at this book, and we're going to go back, and we're going to look at the first five proposals, which means that we're going to look at steps 1 through 5, because that's what we've done. We're on step 6 now. We just finished 5. And we look back and we say, is our work solid so far? So the first step is we admitted we were powerless over our substances and our disease and life. And 2 was we're going to come to believe that God's going to help us. 3, we're going to ask God. 4, we're going to find the truth. And 5, we're going to tell somebody else about it. So we've done those 5 steps. And if we've done them thoroughly, we have some real information about ourselves and also about God and what He means to us now in our lives, especially mine. So we go back and we say, is our work solid so far? When I did my 5th step, yes, I was solid. I did not come up with anything that I had forgotten. My sponsor asked me, she goes, how did your brother escape your list of resentments? And I told her, I said, my brother never made me mad. Well, later on in my recovery, I remembered a small resentment I had towards him, which was when we were kids. Well, he was still kind of young and I was in college, but and I had to look at that and, you know, go through it the same way I did every other resentment. But at the time that I did this step, I did not have any unfinished resentments. And I still don't have any unfinished resentments from my previous life. It's all gone. All gone. And that is refreshing, because I know that God helped me do this work. He was very clear when I was doing this work. This is what you need to know, Peggy. This is what you're doing. And I wrote it down. So I didn't skimp on the cement. So the arch that we're looking, that I look at, is when I look at an arch and I walk through an arch or a tunnel or something that has a curved, you know, ceiling, it's always like, what's on the other side? If you've ever driven through a tunnel, like going across the state of Pennsylvania where there's a whole bunch of different tunnels, you don't know what's on the other side because you can't see. The Lincoln Tunnel coming from New Jersey into New York, you can't see what's above you and you can't see what's on the other side until you get to the other side. So that's what this arch is. We can't see what's on the other side until we get to the other side. So we have to walk through this arch. And to me, the arch is, there's chaos and harm and, you know, craziness going on over here on this side. And on the other side, it's nice and calm and peaceful and pretty, and the sky is blue and the birds are singing and the breeze is blowing and I'm a happy soul. So that's my arch. That's my arch. So now I'm willing to have God remove all the things that I have found objectionable. Well, what are those things that I found objectionable? Well, they're my defects, and they're also some of my bad behaviors. The behaviors that I use to get my way to satisfy all my defects. So I want those things removed. And I'm not willing to have any of them hanging around. Unfortunately, God decides when He's going to remove those from me. They're not all gone just because I want them to be gone. Because therein lies that selfishness again. I want them gone. I want them gone yesterday. Hurry up and get rid of these. I don't need them anymore. I don't want them anymore. But God has a different plan. So as long as I remain willing to let them go and have God remove them, He will slowly take them away from me. And when they show up, I will see them right away. So God can have all of them. I am so willing that He take them. So when ready, we say something like this. And this is the 7th step prayer. And we're asking, my Creator, I am now willing that You should have all of me, good and bad. Well, we don't necessarily always look or talk about some of the good stuff when we do in our inventory. But the good shows up without us even knowing it. We don't have to work towards figuring that out. But God's going to tell us also what is good about our personalities and use that when we help other people. We don't have to figure that out. We don't have to walk around figuring, oh, I'm good at this, I'm good at that, blah, blah, blah. He's going to figure it out. Good and bad. Now, I want you to remove every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Now, that somebody could read as a conditional statement. Only the ones that stand in the way of my usefulness. Well, I can keep the other ones. If I'm not going to be used to help somebody, I can hang on to those other ones. No, because our whole goal here is to be of maximum usefulness to my fellows and to God. That is our code. That's not a conditional statement. It just is, if it's standing in the way of usefulness to other people, take it away. It doesn't need to be in there getting in the way anymore. Grant me strength. Why do I need strength? Because it takes a lot of strength to build a new life, to change your behavior, to change how you interact in relationships, how you respond to stress. And I've had 2 weeks of what you might call a revelation of how to lead by example and practice recovery behavior. Because my one sister, who has a lot of health issues, was hospitalized, and she just got out on Friday. She was in there for 2 weeks, and quite honestly, I'd have to say that she was probably near death, and she escaped death. But in the meantime, I have a brother up in Connecticut, and I have a sister in Missouri who are younger than my other sister and myself, and not by much, 3-4 years. And we all come from a family where I have the answer, let me tell you what you need to do. You need to think about this. Why don't you do this? Have you thought about this? If you would just do this, it would be just fine. You blah, 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 blah. Okay. And we're really good at it. That's the bad part. So my recovery behavior is not to participate in that anymore, because that's not my business. It's not my job. And it is increasingly difficult to be in a conversation with the brother who is on the phone, you know, why doesn't she do this and why doesn't she do that and blah, 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 blah. And then I start, well, Pete, why don't you just chill out? Well, there I go, you know. So it's just a circle. Right? So I made up my mind, and I asked God earlier this week. I said, God, please keep my mouth shut when I'm talking to Karen, when I'm talking to her daughter, when I'm talking to my sister, when I'm talking to my brother. Keep my mouth shut. And so this morning, I was on the phone with my brother before the meeting, and he's, you know, and I said, nothing. I said nothing. I said, she's going to figure it out, Pete. She's going to do what she's going to do. We don't have to say anything. All we have to do is love and support her, right? And then my daughter calls this morning, and I told her, I said, Angela, I said, I am not telling anybody what to do anymore. I'm telling you. She goes, but Mom, I'm your daughter. And I said, especially you, because you are. I said, so I'm making this oath. I'm not telling anybody what to do anymore because it's none of my business. So to me, that is really, really hard to do. And I need God to help me do that. So that's the strength that we get by asking God to help us be recovered, because it's not easy going back out there, because the same people that we played with before are in the same sandbox, you know? So we either have to get out of that sandbox, change that sandbox, or learn a new way to be in it with those people. And I don't choose to be completely out of the sandbox with my family. So I got to play in there, but I got to play safe for me and for them, because it's very insulting to other people to tell people what to do when they are the masters of their own destiny with God. I don't have to do that. So thank you all.
Thank you.
Very good. All right.